Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. The retro music coming back in. Happy to be with you. We got a lot to talk about this afternoon with interesting things happening like this pipeline, which apparently is cutting through the middle of a sacred ground to Native Americans. There's at least a temporary stall on the movement of this pipeline development. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, President Obama appointing the first federal judge that happens to be of the Islamic faith. Some are convinced that this is, Dinesh D'Souza's prediction coming true. Right. So now, of course, if there's a Muslim judge, he must be enacting Sharia law. That, of course, stands to reason. So we'll talk about that this afternoon. And how to raise confident kids. And the question is, could we be raising overly confident kids and not realize it? I don't know. I worry about that sometimes. Is it too much? Have we gone too far? All of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Looking around out there, kind of seeing what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and how we kind of ideally use our Catholic sensibilities, our Catholic worldview, as I like to call it, Catholic perspective, to view all of this. And I hope that as we look at things from a Catholic perspective, we always put that human dignity first. Not just male white human dignity, which apparently is the issue with this recent posting I put on my Facebook page from the Newsmax. Now, you know, Newsmax is undoubtedly a much more right-leaning news source. There's no doubt about that. So I really shouldn't be surprised necessarily when I read these comments after this story. But the story is that President Obama has nominated a Muslim lawyer to a federal court, and this is apparently the first time in history that we've had a federal court judge of the Islamic faith. And Abid Raiz Krashi, perhaps I'm saying that incorrectly, a graduate of Cornell University, Harvard Law School, spent his legal career with Latham and Watkins in Washington, specialist in healthcare fraud, securities law, False Claim Act cases, currently heads the firm's pro bono committee and serves on the Legal Ethics Committee of the District of Columbia Bar Association. Now, if you just read those credentials without knowing his faith, would you not look at this and go, man, seems like a pretty qualified guy. Yeah, seems to have the goods. Why would we not want to see someone of that caliber nominated to the court? But there are those who, of course, are concerned simply because this is a Muslim individual to say that, well, he's simply not qualified. Right. And some of the comments on this, just a little, not surprising again, considering the source, but my goodness, that this basically takes, one essentially says, well, too bad this guy just took a job away from a white man. Yeah. Yeah, and we wonder why we have racial issues, racial tensions, racial challenges. Because there are individuals in comm boxes after stories of this nature saying, too bad this guy took a job from a white man. This is the world in which we live, unfortunately, and this is what we're challenged by. And until we realize, especially, and I think that we should be held to a higher standard. If you call yourself Catholic, you darn well should be held to a higher standard because of what the emphasis we place on human dignity and the fact that human dignity, not just unborn human dignity, not just the aged and dying and the final stages of life human dignity, not just the poor, not just the disenfranchised, the disadvantaged, absolutely all of those categories, but human dignity of each and every individual, regardless of race, creed, ethnicity, religion, you name it. That's a beautiful thing about being Catholic. And when you realize that this is the foundational, it's again what I said before, it's this hinge on the door. Nothing opens up or comes in or out without that hinge of human dignity. And if we've got that, then certainly we shouldn't fear other individuals from having dignity. And it's a pretty dignified, not that this is any more, not that this lawyer who is this judge now, I should say, who has this illustrious law career now appointed to this position as a federal court judge, not that his position is any more dignified than anyone regardless, but in the general sense of, wow, that's a pretty dignified position. Undoubtedly, this is something that has tremendous respect, should be afforded that respect, because this is an important position. And I know, believe me, I know, well, there are those who say, well, this guy's just going to legislate from the court. And who knows what we'll get now because he's a Muslim. And as I've heard Mike Allen talk about this, I've talked about this, and it's so very true, especially of Catholics. You know, be careful of what we criticize, especially when it comes to those who have their own law system built within their faith, because has there ever been a Catholic federal judge? My guess is probably yes. I haven't done the research on that. I don't know the names or their times of their terms of service, but my guess is probably. And then the next question I would have to ask is, did that Catholic federal court judge lean upon canon law as his rule from his position as judge? My guess is probably not. Now, I know I'm throwing some speculation out there without anything in front of me. I realize that. But at the same time, I would hope that this begins to put things in a little bit of perspective. Because I think that's what we don't have enough of, is a broad and deep perspective to stop and say, wait a minute, what does this really mean? What is this really? And I say the vast majority of individuals would hear, oh, there's a Muslim federal court judge. Well, that's a good thing. I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I want the vast majority, right? I want the vast majority to stop and go, oh, well, that's a good thing, yeah. Congratulations to this gentleman and the position he now holds and the respect that affords the Muslim community. That's a wonderful thing. I want the majority to say and think that. Whether they do, I don't know. But at least you and I think we can start there and we can say, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And let's be that. Let's be that voice. Let's be that voice of applauding this decision, regardless of politics. Because ultimately, a judicial position is not one of politics. And I know you could say, well, presidents appoint those guys, therefore they can stack the deck politically. That rarely works. If you look historically, certainly from the case of Supreme Court nominees, and this is something that I commented on a Facebook post earlier, because I've said it a bazillion times, and I have seen few who really back this theory. Most would say, no, it's all about the Supreme Court. Voting for the president, especially in this election, is all about the Supreme Court. I can't count the times I've heard that. But it's refreshing to see that I'm not alone, because you kind of feel that way sometimes. I do. And I know that I've got interesting perspectives that could potentially put me in a state of aloneness, but you kind of feel that way. That maybe I'm the only one who thinks, you know what, it's a mixed bag. Who knows what you're going to get, regardless of the nominee, when they get to the bench. You don't know. You don't know what that majority decision is going to look like. You don't know how many conservatives and liberals are on that. But you can check out some of these cases that we call landmark, the ones that, or at least were monumental in nature because of what they did and the directions that they changed the American landscape as far as what is constitutional and what isn't. And many times you got a mix of conservative, liberal-leaning individuals making that majority decision that really seemed to redefine constitutionality, not sharpen the focus of constitutionality and clarifying constitutionality, but redirecting constitutionality, has come from both sides. So it's really not. I mean, and there's no way of standing on that and saying, well, look at how this history has been of these particular judges appointed by this particular ilk of politician or president. It just, no, it doesn't. Does not add up that way. If I thought for a second you could chart and graph me a pattern, then I would maybe join you in that crusade of it's all about the Supreme Court. We got to realize that. But it's not. Nor is it about federal courts, necessarily. Although federal courts undoubtedly affect Supreme Court, because there are times that it moves beyond the federal court, gets to the Supreme Court, and sometimes goes back to the federal court ruling and stays there. So, yes, that can happen. But when it comes to left and right leaning justices, that's not one we can stand on. So I keep hearing it. I'm glad there are the Catholics who don't see it that way and who realize that there's something about seeing this election, especially this election, through the lens of Catholic perspective that's very important. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Definitely political positions here, no doubt, but certainly without the pandering of partisan politics. That's not what you get. So if that's what you want, there's plenty of other sources for that. Lots of them. This one, not one. Posted this over on my Facebook page, tweeted off of the USA Today tweet, the new Apple and Nike combo, the watch that apparently is the fitness dream come true for fitness enthusiasts, those wearing various fitness devices out there. Now you can have it all. And from what I gather, waterproof as well. So even triathletes, those who are in that category, who are a very small percentage of the population, but definitely devoted individuals. If you're going to be a triathlete, it takes a lot of devotion, no doubt. What you got to say, props to my oldest son, Zachariah, yesterday, completing his first cross-country match, being out there in, 93-degree heat? Crazy hot. I know it drained me just being there, just being in the heat without running and doing what he did, completing that event. Very first time out, impressive stuff. So congrats to him and to all the competitors and those who braved that heat. It was grueling, but commendable, very commendable for everyone participating. But of course, special congratulations to Zach Brown. So apparently we got a halt on the pipeline procedure here until Friday, this NBC News is reporting on my Facebook page. And through this area of North Dakota that has been shown to be a sacred ground to the Sioux tribe and Native Americans throughout that area, now coming together in support of the Sioux Nation that has really felt violated in this process, because certainly doesn't seem to be a way of recourse for them when it comes to halting this pipeline plan. And I don't know at this point if there's any hope for them to find another way of dealing with this, or if it's simply a kind of out of luck situation. But I think we have to ask, and I've seen this post out there, what would happen if it wasn't Native American? What would happen if it's proven to be another heritage? Would this look different? And I think that's a fair question. Some may call that race baiting to some degree, but that's not what it's about. It's about simply asking, do we see this people, do we see Native Americans as lesser than others because they're Native Americans? We've kind of relegated their culture anyway into something that has certainly was never what they had at one time. And you could say, oh, the government protects these people and their lands, and what's happening here? Why is this taking place? And especially, now the one thing I've said, regardless of ethnic group, there's always a way to kind of hearken back and go, well, you know, this isn't home, and home was different. Regardless, if I don't care what the group is, if they are displaced, there's always a hope for returning to the home that they left. Or perhaps in some cases that they were removed from. Refugees, migrants, you name it. I think there's always a way that they can dream about getting back to what once was, I should say. I don't think Native Americans can really do that. And you could easily say, well, there are none alive who remember what it was like anyway. Yeah, you could say that. But there's no way of returning to that. There really isn't. Not now. Not in our culture as it is. There's no way to say they can go back to that lifestyle. So I think when it comes to sympathy, I would hope that we would have a tremendous degree of sympathy for those whose homes have been altered, significantly altered, not just forced into some degree of migration into another place with the hope of returning to what they once had, intact as it was when they left, but looking at what is now a total desecration of their land and homes that they once knew. So I think when it comes to an injustice, my goodness, what a horrific injustice the Native American has had to endure. Timothy Putnam posted this, a couple of others have reposted an interesting Marlon Brando conversation. Marlon Brando with Dick Cavett in 1973, which, well, I always loved Dick Cavett Show anyway. I thought it was a really insightful program, and I watched it as a kid. But here's Marlon Brando, who I think most would probably just assume was a celebrity, did his thing, whatever, made millions in movies, and was just a Hollywood type. And I don't know how much activism he put into his belief on this, but he's speaking very from a very solid place of information as he addresses this, that he's obviously studied this, and it's before he could have just grabbed a Wikipedia post, before he could have Googled up something before stepping out on the Cavett set. He's obviously done a little bit of research and found information that really began to change his position, or certainly as he presents in this interview, he's got a profound concern for the Native American. And I think it's interesting seeing this come from Marlon Brando of all individuals. Not that we look at him like he's some sort of reputation as not being this intelligent. What, because I think actors, first off, you got to have some degree of smarts to do this job anyway. It takes a certain type of person to be a good actor. There's no doubt. A degree of intelligence that has to be in that dynamic. But for him to speak as he does about what he is obviously feels passionate about, and you see it in this interview, it's pretty impressive. And then compare that 1973 discussion to what we're seeing now in North Dakota in the Sioux sacred area. And it's very interesting. And I would hope, again, as we talk about human dignity, that when we see infractions and we see individuals who seem to not have justice served and not really have the voices that others have, that perhaps we can find ways to stand in that gap. And I think that's what Catholics should do with every opportunity. That's what we have done. We need to do more of. We need to let that be our hallmark. And my goodness, if that was it, right? Because we talk a lot about Catholic identity. I hear it a lot, and some, I believe, think the Catholic identity is if you wear a scapular and you have a crucifix on your wall, and when you have a rosary in your pocket, then that must be Catholic identity. Which, by the way, I have all three of those, but that doesn't make me Catholic. It doesn't identify me as such. I hope what identifies me as Catholic, and certainly what should identify us all, is that do we really uphold human dignity? Are we champions? Are we champions of human dignity anywhere and everywhere? And certainly, are we champions of creation? Do we truly champion that which God has created? Do we want to protect and uphold and honor and respect creation anywhere and everywhere simply because this is all a gift from God? If we do that, human dignity and God's creation, which certainly encompasses humanity, but if we do that well, if that's kind of the, this is where we put our energy, this is how we make our decisions. My goodness, I mean, right? Justice will be served every time. And if we as Catholics are the ones out there championing this, do you not think that we will be known? That there will be something about this peculiar group of individuals that others would look at and say, wow, look what they stand for. Look how beautiful that is. St. Teresa of Calcutta, recently canonized, now with ridiculous criticism because she did that. And we won't escape criticism, I promise you. We'll probably be criticized more, but we'll have something we can stand on and people will know what we're all about. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. You'll see the many stories that we talk about here on the show. Post it over there for you to comment on and get into crazy discussions like the whole Bill Nye thing. We talked about that yesterday, but my goodness, this thing, it has not stopped yet. Just keeps on going. And now it's turned into crazy things like, well, when did Bill Nye say that he was going to dismantle Christianity? And that was never my first piece of concern. It was more that I think he's an entertainer, first and foremost, not necessarily a science guy, but I think he's gotten into this world of, I'm going to take on pet projects that seem to promote leftist ideals. That's all I said. And then I tried to back it up. So, well, here's one example. This has nothing to do with science, but he's simply opining on the abortion situation and how does this fit in? So I at least had an example. But if you got something to say about that, as many people have, you can do that. That's what Facebook, and I posted this. I think that there are those who just thought I was being facetious, but I'm serious. I love Facebook for that. I love it. I love the fact that we can have these kind of discussions. Because, my goodness, we need to. We need to have these kind of conversations. And when we do, amazing things can happen. We can really begin to dig into some serious stuff. And maybe begin to listen to each other and hopefully respect each other. And I know that there are times that emotions get high and we tend to maybe be as shut off even in these discussions as we are in others. But I think there's a bravery, and I admire this. I think there's a bravery for those who will say things maybe in a Facebook debate or discussion or fight, whatever it may be, that they wouldn't otherwise, and that's okay. I think getting it out in this forum, that's good. Let's have these conversations. Let's understand each other. We may not be changing anyone's mind, but at least we ourselves can feel a little bit better about our positions, because there's always those who come in and back you up, right? You can usually, for everyone who attacks, there's at least one who'll back you up. And that's good. So we have this dynamic going on. And if you want to join in, follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. I find this interesting, Business Insider, with 12 tips on raising confident children. And there's the first one here is appreciate the effort no matter win or lose. You know, I think that oftentimes we do, as parents, put a lot of emphasis on winning. And I see this in organized sports frequently, and I know there's been a lot of challenges out there. Yeah, and then I know that the opposite extreme is that everybody gets the medal, which I don't think that should be the case. I think competition is important, but it should certainly not be everything. So I think that that's good. Encourage practice to build competence. It says let them figure problems out by themselves. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that sometimes we want to step in. We want to helicopter around. We want to help our kids. And I see this, like, for instance, we were at... We're at our oldest son's event yesterday, his Krusty event. And my youngest son, who I know looks younger than he is, he's almost four. He's smaller than most four-year-olds. And I think it scares people when they see him doing things and they want to help him because he's climbing a fence out there and I'm standing right beside him. And there are other parents who want to come and intervene and like grab him. And I'm like, no, 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 he's okay. He's okay. You know, it's one thing to help your kids along. You don't have to help other kids. And this stuff happens to me and it makes me crazy. It's like there was a sign that was falling over and I think maybe a mother was concerned these boys were going to get hurt who were jumping around on it, or maybe she was concerned about the sign. I don't know. But I'm there. I'm an adult. Maybe I look much younger. I could... Maybe you think I'm a teenager. Maybe that's when... I just have no, but I'm watching my son play. He's jumping on. If he hurts himself, he's not going to hurt himself that badly. He'll be okay. That's part of being a boy. He's jumping around. He's goofing off. They kind of had it set up like a seesaw sort of thing, and they were jumping around. I don't have a problem with that. So kind of got to let them do that. Which goes into number four, which is let them act their age. Absolutely, you want to do that. Encourage curiosity every opportunity. This was posted on my Facebook page just a couple of days ago. The kids in the neighborhood and my kids were playing at the creek in our neighborhood, and they found a newt. They found this spotted newt. And I'm like, pick him up. And they're like, will it hurt me? No, pick him up. Play with him for a little bit. Don't hurt him, but I want you to be curious about this guy, see what he's all about. And they did, and they got brave enough to do it, and they let him crawl around on him a little bit, put him back with his friends. There were two others there. And we got to see the newt up close. It was pretty cool. Avoid creating shortcuts or making exceptions for your child. Of course, we're horrible about that as parents. Never criticize their performance. It says, treat mistakes as building blocks for learning. Absolutely. Open the door to new challenges, new experiences. Indeed. Teach them what you know how to do, which I've tried to do with my kids from a very young age, but they're more interested in, at least our oldest, more interested in video games than my musical instruments any day. Praise them when they deal with adversity. I think that's a good point to make. Be authoritative, but not too forceful or strict. Tough stuff. Parenting is tough, and I think it's, I'm not sure which is tougher. I heard Mike Allen talking this morning about the difficulty of marriage and realizing that there's something about embracing this cross that I don't think anyone thinks it will be at first, but it always is for everyone, right? There's something about the marital dynamic, but I think there's the parenting dynamic within the marriage is that one's the, I mean, my goodness, I watch friends post stuff about the heartbreak of watching their kids leave the house, and I'm not even there yet. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Right? I know it's tough. It's tough when they're there because it's like, right? You're trying to deal with that. But then when they leave, it's even tougher because it's like, now they're gone. They're only here for such a short time. And I know that that happens. So it's, wow. The cross of parenting and the cross of marriage, but we're called to be saints. So it's all part of that. Speaking of family dynamics, I saw this earlier and I thought, wow, you know, if there's anything that we could put energy into, I think it would be domestic violence. If there's a way, and I know, you know, this story from Washington Post, I posted it on my Facebook page. It's this guy who kills his son, teenage son, and his wife, his estranged wife, and then Facebook lives this thing while he's on his way to her in-laws to kill them, which apparently he didn't do, but he managed to get away with a couple of murders. Restraining order, all kinds of stuff, trying to prevent this, but wow, how can we prevent this? What can we do from a standpoint of greater intervention? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that answer is. But I do know this. This is the big issue. Domestic violence, especially, which escalates to things of this nature. There was the story, I don't know why it was rolling back around on Facebook this morning. It's from some time ago. The mother, middle of suburbia, idyllic surroundings. She shoots her two daughters, her two teenage daughters, in the yard because she's trying to seek some sort of revenge against her husband. Really? I mean, there's sickness out there that I would pray could be stemmed somehow. But this is the big concern that nobody, it seems like nobody cares about. If it was random, now it seems like, okay, there's more of a concern. Well, because it's random? Because now you're potentially in danger? Because you didn't know the guy, now it's like, well, it doesn't matter what? I mean, it's weird, this bizarre dynamic we have. Shooter murders his family. He just murdered his family. Well, if it's random and it's the same amount of people, but we don't know what's coming next, now it's a panic. We're all concerned. Well, why aren't we concerned about the family? Why aren't we concerned about this individual who obviously has some serious issues? that need to be dealt with. And I know that we don't necessarily know how to identify it, but my goodness, there has to be some way. Now, you know who I'm voting for. I've said it a zillion times. Soraya Foss is my choice. Independent. If I have to write her in Kentucky, I'll do that. I know she's got ballot eligibility in all 50 states. Whether she'll actually be on the ballot or not is another question. But if you look, this is one thing I would applaud Hillary Clinton for. If you look at her policy issues on her website, she has an entire section devoted to mental health initiatives. Now, why would you not appreciate that, regardless of who you're voting for? And why would you not see that and say, well, we haven't done enough. We obviously haven't done enough. If we still have issues of this nature that crop up ever, we're not doing enough. How do we make sure that people have adequate care, mental and emotional health care? And what can we do to prevent something of this nature? That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. Back tomorrow afternoon. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.